Good morning. We want to bring you greetings from Los Angeles, California. We are Ron and Cheryl Hammer, and we're so excited to be able to worship God with you in Eastern Canada this morning as we draw near to each other.
What an amazing weekend I was able to participate in. Your Women's Day, your virtual Women's Day, was incredible. This is my time. From the music to the lessons to the sharing to your benevolent program, from start to finish, it was just incredible. And it was so fun to share it with so many of my friends, but to see over 400 screens, 400 people learning more about God and their faith, it was amazing. Even last night, I was able to take my sister's lesson and be able to share it at our midweek. So many hearts were encouraged. You know, I just want to say you are impacting through that event not only your local ministries, but literally disciples and friends around the world. I have to say, what a special part of the world you live in. Canada was where I was born and raised, and it's just deeply embedded in my heart. And I just want to say thank you to Tony and Melanie for inviting us to the service. They're such dear, dear friends. And here's a photo of us back in the day, over 30 years ago, out on a fun dinner date together. You know, it's amazing to have friendships that span so many years. You know, I want to give a shout out to all the disciples in the Halifax Church. You're so dear to me and so special, and love you very much.
Good morning, Ottawa. Good morning, Halifax. It is so exciting to be able to worship God together. In the kingdom of God, you never lose your friendships. You just simply add more richness and depth to each one of them. And so grateful for my friendship with Tony and Melanie over 30 years. Tony was in my Bible studies back at the University of Toronto in 1988. And I know out there in Halifax, you have Greg and Nancy Taylor, and Greg was in my Bible studies as well. And so two old friends that God used to help me become a disciple of Jesus. You have two amazing cities in Halifax and Ottawa. I remember being in the city of Ottawa in 1988. Well, actually, it was 1989. I remember seeing people skate to work on the canal. I remember in 1990 being able to go over to Hull and do some skiing at Mount St. Marie. And of course, Cheryl and I have spent many, many days and weeks in Halifax and Nova Scotia in the Maritime Provinces. So it's our home, it's our family, and we really are blessed to be connected with you. Tony told me that you've been doing a series on looking at the interactions of Jesus with different people and really striving to imitate him. And so this morning, I thought it'd be fitting to bring you a sermon entitled Conformed to the Likeness of Jesus. After all, being a Christian, Jesus is the one that we are called to imitate. Every morning, if you wake up and say, I want to be my best Jesus and how I live my life, you're going to be on a good track. But you know what? We need to do our part. But God is always at work. And I want each one of us to turn to Romans chapter 8 as we look at being conformed to the likeness of Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul says this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You have two words that stand out, and they're a contrast, suffering and glory. Well, if you're like me, there's one in particular you want to hear, and that is glory. Suffering, I'm not fired up about that, but glory, yes, bring the glory on. Well, we're going to study this passage together and see what that meant in the context of becoming like Jesus. Well, 2020, the last 12 months of life has been immersed with all kinds of suffering. It's been quite a unique experience for us here in Los Angeles, and I know the same for you in Atlantic Canada. There's been a lot of suffering. It's been crazy times. We've been isolated during the COVID virus. We've been experiencing racial injustice. We've had riots. We've had protests. We've had political turmoil. We've had all kinds of disunity that we faced in division. We've had brothers and sisters in Christ arguing on social media. It's experienced challenges in a whole new way. And then in the midst of facing all these challenges, we've been forbidden from meeting together as the body of Christ. It's been an absolute firestorm. And say, wow, what are the challenges that you're facing in Ottawa, in Halifax, in the communities, in your country? I know they've been similar to us. I think about the sufferings with the COVID virus. Here in Santa Clarita, with the ministry that we lead in the northern end of Los Angeles, we have four couples on the full-time ministry staff. Half of those couples and their children have gotten the COVID virus. We've had multiple disciples in our ministry test positive for the COVID virus. We've had family lose extended family and loved ones through the virus. It's been a challenge. The church in Rome, when Paul wrote this, was experiencing their own kind of suffering. It started as a Jewish-led church. Then Claudius kicked out the Jewish Christians, and then you had the Gentile Christians running the show. Now you had the Jewish Christians coming back home, and life was different than what they remembered. And there were challenges and divisions with being united with Gentile and Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet Paul says these words. He says, our present sufferings, they're not worth comparing with the glory that would be revealed in us. I know for myself and in our church, the last 12 months have made it hard to look beyond our sufferings to the glory that God would reveal in each one of us. We've been tempted to want to focus on ourselves, to want to self-protect, to look out for number one, and to be able to just think about what's best for me in this environment and how am I going to survive? How am I going to protect myself through this time? And yet that's the exact opposite of the heart of Jesus. And Paul, in a sense, says all these sufferings that we're experiencing together, he goes, they're just not a big deal. Don't worry about them. But I don't know about you, but when you're going through suffering, it is so hard to go, not a big deal. Sufferings are magnified, and especially when we can't meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we can't have our normal connections, those sufferings can grow. And it's that introduction to sufferings that Paul continues on in chapter 8, which brings us to our point number one. God is calling you to glory. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30, we read, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Paul packs a lot into that short reading. Paul wants you and I to know that God is always working for the good of those who love him. Now, a lot of times we misread that passage and we go, and we think that means only good things are going to happen if we love God. And yet that's not the context of what's being shared. We are not promised only victories and joy and success if we make a decision to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. No, Paul is saying God is always working good for those who love him, but he goes on to explain what the good is. That God is moving and working in our life to conform us to the likeness of his Son. He is molding, he is shaping, and that is the good work that God is continuing to accomplish in my life and in your life. But we will not escape suffering. We will not escape hardships and trouble. But the promise of God is that his work continues in each one of us to mold us into the likeness of Jesus. I love reading stories about Jesus and the interactions with other people. And I'm excited that that's how you've been spending your last number of Sundays, watching Jesus interact with people and being called to imitate those interactions. And yet sometimes God knows something more is needed than just an intellectual understanding of how Jesus interacted. And God gets involved and starts doing molding and shaping in our lives. Paul talks about this process. He says, you're predestined, you're called, you're justified, and you're glorified. And say, that's the being the image of Jesus Christ. I think about being called by God into a partnership with him. Wow, that is a spectacular concept. That God wants to partner with us. I know I feel a special partnership with Tony. He was called Ganeshwar back then. And with Greg, when they studied the Bible with me in July and August of 1988 on the campus of the University of Toronto. That is a lifelong bond. And yet there was a further partnership going on. It was a partnership with God. God knew what he was doing when he brought me to the campus of the University of Toronto to become a disciple. I thought I was going there to study chemistry, but God said, no, I'm bringing you here to become a disciple of Jesus. And every single one of us has a story to tell of how God is moving and working in their life. He was working then, he's working now. We didn't get to where we are on our own. And that partnership is continuing to this day. We're called. We're called from Ottumwa, Iowa to partner with God. My wife was called from the farmlands of Linden, Nova Scotia. Tony was called from Annandale, Guyana. Melanie was called from the village of Dududu, South Africa. Wherever your history has taken you, God has been at work. Why? Because God is concerned about one thing, and that is that you and I are conformed to the likeness of his Son. We're never alone. We're always special. Why? Because God has called us into partnership with him. It's not our mission, it's his. And he says, come along for the ride. I've got great things in store. Not only are we called, the Bible says that we're justified. And I want to talk about justification for a little bit, because so often we don't experience the full concept of justification. What's the word mean? Well, just as if I never had sinned. And that's exactly what it means. And yet if we treat it only as the forgiveness of sins, it's kind of like a golden ticket to get on the heaven plane at the end of our life. And yet there's something more that Paul is talking about in the working of God in your life. That justification plays a key role in becoming the likeness of Jesus, not simply because we're going to be forgiven so we can go to heaven, but justification is getting our sin out of the way. How are we going to live like Jesus here and now today if we're suffering under the guilt and the shame and the burden and the regret and the hurts caused by the sins in our life? God knew this, and he said, if you're going to be like Jesus, I got to get your sin out of the way so you no longer have to carry that yoke. Then you're going to be able to represent Jesus to a lost world. Finally, he says, those I justified, I glorified. Now, when I get to that word, I go, yes, I love that part. That's what I want to hear. Being molded into the likeness of Jesus, so that, you know, God can display glory through me. But it's not what you think. The glory of God being revealed in us is not a life that says, wow, Ron, you are truly awesome. Now, glory being revealed in me is a glory that people look to God and say, wow, God is awesome. And we're going to come back to Romans chapter 8, but I want to expand on this concept of the glory of God and go over to John chapter 12. And this is the ministry of Jesus. And in John chapter 12, verse 20, it says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip in Galilee with the request, sir, we want to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn went and told Jesus. And so there were some Greeks at this festival, and they go, we want to see Jesus. We want to see what he's like. We want to understand him. Hey, we want to get the picture. And so Philip and Andrew tell Jesus, and there's a meeting. Well, what's Jesus' reply to the request, we want to see Jesus? In verse 23, he says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. A voice from heaven spoke, I've glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for the judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This is the glory of God revealed. These Greeks wanted to see Jesus, and he tells them a story about a kernel of wheat. And he says, this is who I am. He says, if a kernel of wheat remains only a single seed, or there's no impact, but if the seed falls to the ground and dies, it produces many seeds. He said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men and women to me. God reinforced it and said, this is my son. You see, the glory revealed in us is who we are as Christians in the midst of suffering. It's not how we live when there is no suffering. In fact, we reveal Jesus in our best way when we function as Christians through suffering. Why? You say, when I suffer, I'm weak. I'm struggling. I'm hurting. Well, when we're going through hardships and struggle, and we do what's right, and we live for God, who gets the credit? God does. You see, in our weakness, that's when God gets the most glory. You see, if we accomplish things with human wisdom and human strength, who can take the credit? Oh, it could be me. Wow, Ron, that was such a great insight. That was such a great message. Wow, that was really powerful. People can end up looking to me. But when we're going through difficult times, when we're not at our finest moments, but we serve and we lay down our life and we die for others and make sacrifices, who gets the credit? God does. Say, what's it going to take for you and I? Oh, be partners with God as He works to mold us into the likeness of His Son. 2020 for me was a year of molding. It seemed like one difficult situation after another. How do you minister to hurting people? Almost everything that was said, there would be somebody on one side of the equation that was upset for one reason, and a good-hearted brother or sister in Christ that was upset on the other side. There was so much grief and so much pain and isolation and hurting going on. And there were so many times it just felt like, I just want to survive. I don't have the energy or the faith to help one more person. And yet there are so many opportunities for God to be moving and working in difficult situations. I want to share about a young Christian couple. Oh, they're not young by age. They're in the late 50s and early 60s. And they came to visit our church because their daughter, Diamond, was a part of our campus ministry. And a little over a year ago, Richard and Arlen Castle were baptized into Christ. He's an account exec for AMD Microchips, and she's an attorney. And they came to church in the fall of 2019 to be able to see what their daughter was a part of. And they studied the Bible for a number of weeks and months, and they got baptized. And as young Christians, COVID hit. They're an awesome married couple. And together with Diamond, they're an incredible disciple family. But I don't care how much experience in life you have, nothing prepares you for being isolated from friends and family through COVID. Well, early on with the COVID virus, Arlen's mother and sister passed away in the state of Florida because of the virus. The hospitals prevented loved ones from being present. And so you spent this time wanting to be together and you couldn't. And you grieved. It was a tragic time. And yet through this time, I was so proud of Richard and Arlen. A few months later, they got COVID themselves. They struggled in their health, but fortunately they weren't hospitalized. And through that time, Arlen was involved in Bible studies with different friends. And I'm so excited because in the midst of everything, she got to be in the water helping one of her friends, Sue Nave, get baptized. Going through her own personal loss, suffering her own physical ailments through COVID, Richard and Arlen wanted to be givers. They wanted to share the gospel with others. And then after that, they wanted to become Bible Talk leaders, taking on that responsibility of shepherding others. As young Christians hurting, truly, they reflect the heart of Jesus Christ. Not because they're not experiencing suffering and loss. Oh, they've experienced a lot. but being those that communicate the gospel to others. And being those that are stepping up to the plate and taking on the responsibility to lead and shepherd others. They are seeds that are falling to the ground and dying. And that seed is producing many seeds. Who's gotten the credit through their lives? God has been glorified. Say, I want to call all of us to the glory that God is molding us to. In all things, God is at work molding us into the likeness of His Son. What are you going through right now where you wanted to be tempted to pull back and isolate and just survive? I just want to make it through. You know what? If Jesus had that heart, He would not have gone to the cross. Paul is challenging all of us to continue partnering in that work of God. What's our role? Continue dying. Recommitting every day to be that seed that falls to the ground and dies. And as God lifts us up, He will be glorified as the gospel will make an impact on other people in Ottawa, in Gatineau, in Halifax, in Dartmouth, in Los Angeles, and all over the world. God is calling you to glory. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. The second point that I want to talk about is that Christ is the victory. Paul continues on in verse 31 to 39, and he says, "What shall we say then in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or virus, or injustice? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul tells us Christ is the victory. And he uses this phrase. He says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Well, isn't it about winning? Isn't it about conquering? But Paul says, no, we're more than conquerors. So what's Paul mean? So often in life, we you know, want to put everything into, did we succeed or did we fail? Did we win? Did we lose? And Paul says, no, it's more than that. He said, it's more than winning. What's Paul trying to get us to understand? He says, being in Christ is the victory. It's our reality. He says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? He goes, we are immersed in Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In the good times, in the bad times. In times of peace, in times of opposition. When we feel at our best, when we feel at our worst. Paul says, your reality is that you are immersed in Christ Jesus. All day, every day. Is that the reality that we experience? Well, it is our reality. Whether or not we experience it is a different question. We can feel alone when we're never alone. We can feel powerless when we're full of the Holy Spirit. And Paul knew that a suffering church in Rome needed to hear, it's not about winning and losing. It's about being present and immersed in Christ. One of the things that's really helped me is to evaluate my days. You say, in what way? Well, to think about it from this point of view. There's a practice called the prayer of examine. And it's concluding your day by asking yourself the question, when did you feel close to God? When did you feel distant from God? What experience was life-giving? What experience was draining? You know what was amazing to discover? That a lot of days I felt really close to God, even though the day was incredibly difficult. And just the opposite, on some days when life was pretty easy, I felt very distant from God. You see, being in Christ is the victory. But it takes a different perspective to imagine that. When you go through opposition, when you're going through disagreements, it's so easy to feel disconnected from God. And yet Paul says, no, the reality is none of those things can separate you from the love of Christ. That is a bedrock foundational item that you begin and end every day with. That not just in your quiet time in the morning, but at lunch, in the workplace, in the classroom, at home, in your neighborhood or community, when you're out shopping, you are still immersed in the love and the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the victory. That the best thing we do every day is to experience the love and the presence of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean for each one of us? Well, we need to train our mindsets different. You know, it reminds me of Matthew 6 when Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know what's implied in that verse? Is that every day is supposed to have trouble. But do you ever find yourself thinking, oh, I just want to have a good day today? And we pray, God, give me a good day. And what we're meaning by that is, God, just help me to not have any trouble today. We're going to be disappointed if we think a good day has no trouble. How about this prayer? God, help me to bask in the love of Jesus Christ. Help me to live that out and be aware of His presence all day and every day. You see, the love of Jesus permeates all things. That some of the greatest difficulties cannot stand in the way or rob you of the love of Jesus Christ. I want to share a story with you. In the San Fernando Valley in 1995, we began a ministry to the deaf. The San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles has a huge deaf community there because of Cal State University Northridge and their deaf studies program. It's a centering point. And 25 years ago, we began that work to the deaf ministry. Well, now we're in its second generation. And the children who are deaf of hearing adults or hearing children of deaf parents are raising up to lead that new ministry. And we're so proud of the work that they're doing. But through COVID, we've all spent a lot of time on Zoom. And there's been a lot of international connections that didn't happen before COVID. Why? Because we thought, well, we can only have good connections in person. And yet God has been doing amazing things. Well, halfway around the world, in Manila, Philippines, there was a deaf disciple that heard about our deaf ministry. And she said, I have a friend outside of Manila who's deaf, but there's no deaf disciples to study the Bible. Will you help her? And so they started Zooming and doing Bible studies together. And so it'd be early in the morning on one side and late at night around the world. And they did Bible studies. And now we have a deaf sister in the Philippines. Well, about a month or two after, there was a connection and somebody in Burundi, Africa said, hey, we have somebody that wants to study the Bible as well. In fact, there's a group of people that want to study the Bible. We need help. And so our deaf ministry in the San Fernando Valley started studying the Bible with these people in Burundi. And now we have a deaf brother in Burundi. And more than that, they said, well, we have a group and we have a church there, but we don't have any sign language interpreters in the church. So the ministry here took up a special contribution to send money over to our disciples there to pay for sign language interpreters to be present at the service in Burundi so that the deaf community there would be able to hear the gospel in their native language. So the gospel is growing. And it's amazing that our brothers and sisters in Christ right here in the north region of the Los Angeles church are helping people become disciples in the Philippines and in Burundi. Why? Because the love of Jesus permeates everything. There are no obstacles that God's work cannot penetrate. But sometimes the greatest challenge is not the work that God will do out there, but the work that God is doing in our own hearts. Each one of our lives is a powerful story of the working of God. We didn't get to where we are on our own. The Halifax Dartmouth Church was not planted by itself. The Ottawa Church was not started on its own. The Los Angeles Church was not begun on its own. Our ministries were built on the sacrifice of those that came before. And there are people in our communities and the surrounding countryside that are begging for answers. They're wanting to know the truth. They want to hear about Jesus. And God is doing a powerful work in you. Why? Because if he can conform each one of us to the likeness of his son Jesus, the seed of our life will produce many seeds. God will be glorified. I am so proud of the work in Ottawa. Tony and Melanie, we love you. We're so excited to have you there in the Ottawa church. We're so proud of the work in Halifax and Dartmouth. And we just feel an incredible partnership with you. But the work of God is not done. The work of God in us did not end when we got baptized. If that was the case, God would just bring us home to heaven to be with him. But he has left us here. Why? Because he needs men and women that are committed to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Oh, claim that promise. What promise? Oh, you're called by God to glory. Say, I am so excited to hear about the future stories of victory in Ottawa and Halifax. We're going to keep praying for you. I am so grateful for the work that God has done through Canada. I owe my salvation to that. We have so many friends across that great nation. We're so excited to be with you. So yeah, there are some hardships that we're going through right now. They're pretty unique. I'm looking forward to the vaccinations to be complete so life can return to whatever normal is. But Cheryl and I love you so much. We're so excited to be able to spend this time with you, be able to worship God together. Let's pray for each other as we partner together along with God. And we commit to being conformed to the likeness of his son, Jesus. Amen. It is incredible to be with you.